the 1950s to the late 1970s, Karol Wojtyła, who eventually became Pope John Paul II, was a professor of moral philosophy at the Catholic University of Lublin in Poland. He specialized in sexual ethics, what we call today maybe issues of marriage and family life. He wrote two great books in association with that philosophical work. The one is called The Acting Person. And I'll warn you, it's a little bit heavy, so those who love serious philosophy can read that book. He wrote another one, though, called Love and Responsibility, which is a lot more accessible, easier to read. And it's about love and sex and marriage. Now, those two books provide the deep background for what, as John Paul II, he produced, namely these talks on the theology of the body. If you want the deep background, though, read these philosophical works from his earlier career. You know from John Paul's papacy that he had deep love for young people. Think of World Youth Day that he sponsored. And, you know, time and again, you'd see him interacting with young people. And it deeply concerned him that young people were drifting into immoral forms of behavior. And I think he wanted to propose the church's moral teaching, especially in areas of sex and marriage, not as a burden, but as an invitation to fullness of life. What I want to do in this brief little video is just share one insight from John Paul's very rich magisterium on the theology of the body. The insight is this, and you see it all the way from the beginning of his philosophical work until the time of his papacy. Every moral act accomplishes two essential things. On the one hand, a moral act produces its own immediate consequences. So you choose to do a certain thing, and certain consequences follow from it. But in the longer run, every act also helps to produce your character. Every act contributes to the person that you are becoming. So there are two things, the immediate result, and then this long-term result, the building up of character. Everything I do in the course of a day is either building up my character or undermining it. It's as though there's this long-term kind of sculpture project going on, as the person that I am is being shaped by acts, both positive and negative. Now, in saying this, John Paul is not engaging in some kind of puritanical moralizing. He's articulating, call it a law. It's a principle in the moral and spiritual order. I often use these sports analogies, which help me. Think of a golfer who over and over and over again swings the golf club badly. Now, believe me, I know there are 1,000 ways to swing it badly. So you've done it over and over again. What happens is in time you become a bad golfer. You become someone who is predisposed to hit the ball short and crooked, right? But let's suppose over and over and over again, you hit the golf ball well. You swing correctly. Well, in time, you're building up your character as a golfer. You're becoming a good golfer, someone now predisposed to hit the ball far and straight. Well, same is true of the moral order. In the course of your life, you're building up your character, either positively or negatively. John Paul saw that, I think, very clearly. And what he put his finger on as a consequence is the danger of a typically modern attitude, which is this. You know, I've done all kinds of bad things, but deep down, I'm still a good person. And you can hear that in the high philosophical discourse, but you also hear it all over the place in the popular culture. We know, look, I'm a good person, even though I've done all kinds of bad things. Well, it just doesn't work that way, John Paul saw, according to this physics of the soul. There's a kind of a dualism that's built into a lot of the modern sense of the self. And it's interesting to watch how over the centuries the church has battled that. I'll give it its proper name. It's called Gnosticism, the view that there's a sharp divide between kind of an interior spiritual dimension and this external bodily dimension, as though the body is not affecting interiority. See, in point of fact, we're not a dualistic hybrid. In fact, we're this coming together of spirit and matter. Matter affects who I am. The body matters in terms of shaping the character that I'm becoming. Okay, so that's all the sort of philosophical approach. What I want to do now is apply it to a very particular situation, which I know bothered John Paul II, bothers a lot of people today, namely this hookup culture among too many of our young people. That is to say, the acceptance of the kind of most casual, most impersonal, manipulative forms of sexual behavior simply as a matter of course. Young people are feeling increasingly that it's okay to engage in this kind of behavior. Now, go back, you know, even 25 or 30 years, teenagers were always engaged in improper sexual behavior, but there was still, I think, a tendency to link sexual expression to something like love or commitment. You know, that even then it was seen as somehow appropriate, that it belonged within some kind of loving relationship. What people are seeing now is that increasingly that's not the case. The young people are simply dividing these two things out. What's the problem? The problem is, if John Paul is right, you cannot engage in all sorts of manipulative, superficial, trivial, and dangerous sexual behavior without affecting your character. It's not the case that you simply remain a good person underneath all of this kind of problematic, aberrant behavior. Now, I'm going to bring in to support me here, too, not just John Paul, but Dr. Leonard Sachs, wonderful psychiatrist and writer, wrote a book called Why Gender Matters. I'd recommend it very warmly to young people and their parents to read. But Leonard Sachs is a psychiatrist, and he said, the hookup culture is doing enormous damage to young people, and may I say, especially to women. And he said his office is filled with young people suffering from depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, suicidal tendencies. Where's it coming from? Sachs argues it's coming from a sort of cognitive dissonance between what the wider culture is telling them, do whatever you want, deep down you're a good person, and what their consciences are telling them, namely that this is very dangerous behavior in terms of the formation of their characters. So both John Paul II and Dr. Sachs, I think, are seeing the truth of this intimate relationship between what we do and who we are. So I'd say, in summary, go back to John Paul. Every time you act, you perform a moral act, for weal or for woe, you're shaping something, namely you. You're shaping your own self, your own soul, your own character. For weal or for woe, you're becoming somebody. I would urge especially young people to keep that in mind as you engage in different forms of behavior. You're not just performing certain things which have immediate consequences. You're also, for good or for ill, shaping the person that you are becoming.